Thank you for that message and song, Brother Carrillo. Well, if you take your Bibles this morning and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 this morning. And a couple of well-known verses here. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Perhaps some verses that many of you have memorized at one time or another, or probably have heard preached on several times. We're going to kind of use this as a launching point, kind of more of a topical message this morning. But Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says this: "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." And obviously these are a couple of verses that people come to oftentimes when they're seeking God's will. And that's what I want us to look at, that idea of finding God, determining God's will for our hearts and for our lives. And the majority of what we're going to look at tonight actually came from a message I heard preached by Dr. Tim Berry, and I kind of adapted some of that part, but in large part, this is kind of his taking the principles of God's Word and molding those all together. He actually works with Brother Phil Kamabashiyama in the Philippines now. But this, most of this was adapted from a message that he preached. And really what I want us to do, oftentimes I think we can get, when we talk about God's will, we get distracted from, you know, oftentimes we get, it's easy to get into this mystical mindset of, I get worried, am I going to miss God's will? Well, in large part, God's will consists of looking at the principles of His Word and looking to honor Him in our life and the decisions that we make based on the principles of God's will. So it more has to do with, am I honoring the principles and living out the principles of God's Word in my heart and life? That's God's will. So let's not get distracted. Oftentimes we can get very kind of, you know, you can get off a little bit when you start looking at it from the framework of more of a mystical type mindset. But really, God's will is centered around living out the principles of His Word and allowing Him to use that and guide and direct in our hearts and lives as He sees, as He sees fit. So the point then is, obviously, as you look at God's Word, you must take the right steps to determine God's will for your life. And really, at the conclusion of verse 6 of Proverbs chapter 3 there, it says, "And He shall direct thy paths." And that's what God wants us to do in our hearts and in our lives. So, what's the world's way, or what are some wrong ways of doing that? Turn to 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 6 through 10 gives us an example of doing it the wrong way. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 6, it says this: "And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, How do ye advise that I may answer the people?" So as he's taken over the kingdom. And the old men said, verse 6, and they spake, or verse 7, "And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever." Verse 8, "But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, What counsel give ye, that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, Make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? Verse 10, "And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now whereas my father did lade you with heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions." And of course, he took the advice of his peers and split the kingdom right down the middle. So obviously, one of the wrong ways of seeking God's will is listening to the advice of our peers. What about our culture? This is a big thing you hear out there. Well, once I turn 18, I can do what I want to do. Okay? And there's lots of that mindset out there. Well, what about You still have God and His Word and the advice and the counsel of those He's put into your heart and your life. Oftentimes the advice, just going through life and living life for ourselves, do what feels good. I'll just do what I want to do. Or do it now, sort of the microwave mentality. Again, the fast food mindset, man, we've got it built in just in our way of life. Man, I can just do what I want to do and do it now and don't even think about it. But what about when we come to God and His Word? Obviously, we need to choose God's will, look at what He has for us through His Word. And obviously, that's the right way for us to live life. So let's spend the rest of our time looking at God's Word. So what is the right way when we look at God's Word? Well, obviously, some overarching principles that relate to all of Scripture. Consider clear commands. Consider biblical principles. So what are clear commands that God gives for our hearts and our lives? What are some clear biblical principles? And a couple of them for you, just to throw out some for us. Again, this isn't an exhaustive list, but some helpful guiding principles for our hearts and lives as we seek what God wants for us. 1 Corinthians 10:23, the first part of that verse says this: all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. In other words, the question we might ask related to that, is this the most profitable or necessary thing for me, this decision that I'm facing or whatever I'm looking at doing in my heart and life? The next part of that verse, 1 Corinthians 10:23, the second part says, all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. And there's another question for us. Does it edify? Does it build up? Does it allow me and other believers to serve our God and honor Him and build each other up in the faith? 1 Corinthians 8, verse 13 says this: wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Does it cause a brother or sister in Christ to stumble? Am I creating a stumbling block through what I'm doing in my heart and my life? 1 Corinthians 6:12, the second part of the verse says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be under the power of any. Now, there's a good one for us. The question would be, is something that I'm doing, something I'm involved in, is it controlling me? Does it consume me? And oftentimes, those are things, you know, there may be something that may be perfectly okay for someone else to do. But for you, it's just not going to work. Why? Because it might be a controlling influence in your heart and life that gets you off track of what God wants in your heart and life. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says this: be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And the principle of, is this joining hands with unbelievers, people who hate God? Am I stepping into a relationship or doing things in my heart and life that would potentially destroy my relationship, my testimony with God, and what He wants for my heart and my life? And then also another principle, is this the best? What's the best choice I can make dealing with these issues that I'm facing? And Philippians says this: and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Approving things that are excellent in our hearts and our life. What's the best choice I can make? And then related to those principles and many others, then you've got to consider, what personal convictions or standards have you come to based on those principles? Okay? You cross the boundary of those principles and you're in sin. Okay? But based on those boundaries, those principles and scriptures, we all set up boundaries and convictions in our hearts and lives, standards, so to speak, to keep us from crossing over and breaking those biblical principles. What convictions and standards has God led you to personally in your heart and life? And depending on the area, those things are going to vary from person to person, depending on what area we're talking about. And God wants us to do that. What personal convictions and standards has God led you to? And then, as you seek God's will in your heart and life, consider studying passages that pertain to whatever decision or situation that you're facing. Or also consider biblical examples of how God led other people. And then obviously we need to pray about these different issues. Now I just kind of ran through that. And again, we could probably take each of those sections and almost spend a whole message on any one of those principles or break those down into several parts. But those, again, just to paint a big picture for us of things we need to consider as we're looking at God's will and God's direction in our heart and life. So that's through His Word. And a primary and a thing that needs to be the most important in our hearts and lives. What does God's Word have to say about me, my life, and my relationship to Him? But God's Word also has something to say about our spiritual leaders in our hearts and our life. And as we look at Scripture, there's things we can glean and learn from the spiritual leadership God's placed into our hearts and lives. Guidelines that they can help us set. Advice that they give. Proverbs 15:22 puts it this way. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. And seeking the advice, the counsel of those that God has placed into our hearts and into our lives. But also another avenue the Lord uses through His Word, through spiritual leaders, but also through circumstances. And we know that God works through circumstances. You just take the life of Joseph. And as his brothers sold him into slavery, and how God took that and turned it around, and when his brothers came back to meet him, Joseph said, look, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And God knows how to take all the circumstances of life and work those things together for His honor and glory. And what things does God use? Your family background, the way you've been raised, the relationships you have in your own family. God also uses in day-to-day life. What's our responsibility? Fulfill your duty, what God's put before you today. A lot of times, again, it's easy to get more, what is God's will for my life? Well, in large part, God guides and directs, takes the principles of His Word, spiritual leaders in our hearts and lives, and how does that play out in circumstances? In day-to-day life, whatever my responsibilities are today, to step up to the plate and fulfill those things. And I talk to the young people about this on a regular basis. Oftentimes, what is it for them? For a lot of them, the thing they don't look forward to at all, getting up and going to school. That's God's will for them right now. And through that, as they apply themselves, God will make those next steps clear. And for those of us that are older, have families to provide for our families, to be what we should be, to live out the principles of God's Word. So in other words, you don't need to worry or fret about God's will. God's will comes to us as we go through life fulfilling the responsibilities, the way that God has given to us, and the way that will most honor and please Him. In other words, you don't have to chase it in that sense. That's why I say, look at the principles of God's Word and live those things out as God would have you to do in your heart and your life, and God will roll out His will before you. Scripture puts it this way, what your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. It's a principle from Matthew 6, take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. Seek first the kingdom of God, and He'll take care of all of those other things. Do God's will today, and He will take care of tomorrow. One evangelist, to put it as basic as you can get it, and I don't know, I've said this again to the teens many times, maybe a time or two in here and there, but he said, you want to know what God's will is for you? And as only an evangelist can say, he said, brush your teeth. Think about that. He said, you want to know what God's will is, okay, in a very basic foundational way, practical way, he said, brush your teeth. And what he meant by that was, you do what God has put before you today. Honor Him with the responsibilities that you have today. And you know what? God will see fit that He will guide and direct your steps in the future. And so that's, again, a helpful, for me, that's helpful. Keeps it simple, practical. Brush your teeth. Do what God has put before you to do. Honor Him and everything that He's doing in your heart and life. So through God's Word, God leads us, through spiritual leaders, through circumstances, and then also through the direct leading of the Holy Spirit. In this age, the church age, God's Holy Spirit indwells us. And He takes God's Word and takes circumstances of life and ministers to our heart the needs and decisions that we need to make. Romans 8:14 says this, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In other words, if you have a relationship with God, if you've placed your faith and trust in Him, God's Spirit dwells within you, and He is pulling and tugging and leading and guiding and directing in each of our hearts and our life. He leads. So the question is, how does He speak? How does He work in our hearts and lives? Well, Romans 8:16 says this, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And we know that God works on a person who doesn't know Him as Savior, the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. And God continues that convicting in our hearts and lives as believers, guiding and directing us each step of the way. Now, obviously, His mode and manner of speaking has changed in this age, but He still does speak. And what's one of the primary ways? God uses a variety of things, but what the Scriptures say is the Spirit's sword to work in our hearts and lives. The sword of the Spirit is what? The Word of God. So again, going to the principles of God's Word. How should I live out my life? How is the Spirit ministering His Word to the specific needs and circumstances of my heart and my life? And again, the caution related to that is we've got to beware in our own hearts and lives of no subjectivism, but we've also got to beware of over-subjectivism. The Spirit does bear witness with our spirit and use His Word to guide us and help us make the decisions in our hearts and in our lives. So how do you test? How do you test these inner impressions that, you know, as God leads and guides specifically in and through our hearts and lives, how do you test these things? How do you work these things out? Test your inner impressions. First of all, test them by Scripture. Again, going back to God's Word. What's the point? Just because you believe it's God's will does not necessarily mean that it is. And there's lots of people, you hear them, you know, I know what I've experienced. Well, experience doesn't mean anything if it doesn't line up with what God's Word has to say. Now, there is experience, but where our experience deviates from the Word, what takes preeminence? The Word in every circumstance and every situation. What's another way you can test these inner impressions? Test by time. Give things time. Don't be impulsive is the idea. We can easily be impulsive in our hearts and our lives. And then a third way we can test these inner impressions, obviously one we've touched on already, but test those inner impressions by a community of godly opinion. Seek those counselors in your heart and life, those people that God has brought into your heart and life. Starting with your family, parents, siblings, those in a spiritual authority over you in your church, deacons, pastors, and all of these types of things to seek God's will for our hearts and lives. And then finally, an application, 5 suggestions for implementation. How can we add these things to our hearts and lives? First of all, believe, as we're seeking what God wants for our hearts and lives, believe that God answers prayer. What's God's heart as we share our burdens and things with Him? Psalms 37:4 says this, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." God delights in answering and meeting the needs of our hearts and lives, but it's as we delight in Him. And what's one of the primary ways we show our delight in Him? It's when we're spending that time in prayer with Him, pouring our heart and lives out to Him. And then a second way of practical implementation, do what God seems to be leading you to do. If God seems to be opening this door, using things to direct your path, take the next step that God seems to be setting before you and ask Him to use that and guide and direct in that. But third, as you do that, okay, we've got to be open to redirection as well. Listen to Acts 16, verses 6 through 10. It says this about the Apostle Paul and his ministry. It says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed or tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not, closed the door there too. And they, passing by Mysia, came to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Don't, in other words, don't get discouraged by closed doors. Well, if God seems to be leading this way, boom, closes the door. God closes doors to open the one that He has for us. And that's exactly what happened in the life of the Apostle Paul. And oftentimes what happens is God's redirecting, boy, we tend to get introspective. Oh, well, all these doors are closing, you know, God, what's wrong with me? I must not be right with God. And we do need to ask those questions, but you know, sometimes God's way of leading is closing doors to open the ones that He has for us. So be open as we take those steps that God seems to be leading us to take. Be open to redirection in your heart and in your life. And then perhaps there would be, there's lots of nuances to this, so please, I'm not going to take time to go into all that, but just going to state this. And again, we can nuance this in several ways. But again, this morning, fourthly, the fourth suggestion for implementation is the fact, you know, really, when you look at the principles, it's hard to miss God's will. Okay, I know that kind of can set us back, but thinking about the big picture of who and what our God is. Okay, again, look at the life of Joseph. His brothers, they sinned. They did the wrong thing. Was that God's will for them to sell him into slavery? Okay, from the human side of it, absolutely not. But was God in full control and know what was going to happen and work that all out for His honor and glory? Yes. And that takes us to a verse, Romans 8:28. God works all things together for good, even the sinful choices of men. And I can't even understand all of that. But in that sense then, you know, God takes all things in our lives, good and bad, and works them together for our good and for His glory. So in relation to this, it's hard to miss God's will. Psalms 37:23 says this, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Proverbs 16:1. Listen to this. This is very interesting in this vein of thought. "The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." The preparations of the heart is in man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. He works those things out as He sees fit in our hearts and lives. And sometimes we may have prepared something and thinking it's going to work out this way, and then God ends up leading and guiding in another direction. Proverbs 16:9, it says this, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps." And again, pointing out, again, we can seem to think, look to what God is doing in our hearts and in our lives, devising our way, but, you know, it's God who takes all that and works that all together. And again, that blows our minds. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around that. And then, for those total by chance things that we think may not play into God's will, listen to what Proverbs 16:33 says. The lot, or the idea is, what we can compare that to is the dice. The dice are cast into the lap, or thrown across the table, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Even things that seem to be by chance, God is using all those things to accomplish His will and His purpose in our hearts and lives. And finally, what do we need to do? Proverbs 16:3 says this, "Commit your works and ways to the Lord's, and your thoughts and ways will be established." And that's what God wants us to do as we seek the principles of His heart and apply those things to our hearts and lives. So where that brings us this morning, I'd like to give a real live application of this from my own family and our own heart and life right now. As most of you know, over the last 8 years, my responsibilities here at Marquette have grown, both at church and at home. And especially this last year has been particularly challenging with the addition of our fifth child. And then I took on a lot of added responsibilities in the school this last year. For those of you that don't know, entering the school year in the fall of 2011, so a little over a year ago now, because of enrollment, we were in a situation that required us to release a couple of staff members, Dick Adams and Carlos DePaz. And due to those events, I took on a more significant role in the school ministry. At that time, a little over a year ago, I knew at that point that I couldn't sustain that type of load. I knew that at that point. Obviously, going into this year, we're all hoping that some things would be able to be changed to relieve some of those constraints that folks were feeling, but obviously that wasn't the case. And for us as a family, the balance between our family, the church, the youth ministry, and the school ministry, all those schedules, has brought us personally to a crossroad where we feel like the Lord has led us to make a decision primarily related to our family. Obviously, I've greatly appreciated my time here at Marquette. However, for me, that's coming to a close. As of the end of December, I will be stepping down from my position here at Marquette. And just, again, my heart behind this is this. I would rather regret this decision than regret the potential of a negative impact on my family. I've known too many pastors who have lost their children because they neglected the needs of their family for the needs in the ministry. And obviously, and I told, you know, as we've talked about this in different settings, and I understand, you know, looking at the ministry and where we're at, the person, you know, doing what I'm doing needs to be doing a lot of what I'm doing. I see that and I understand that. And if, you know, we didn't have kids or our kids were a little bit older, we were at a different stage of life, it would work. But at this point, I feel like, again, as I look at Scripture, my responsibilities and the convictions I have based on that, I feel like I can't be what I need to be for my family right now. Now, obviously, it would be great if the Lord opened the door to serve as a senior pastor or possibly as a pastoral assistant in another role. However, the Lord hasn't provided that at this point. So while I'm open to and praying for a ministry position, at this point I'm in the process of pursuing some form of secular employment. I'm actually looking at an opportunity that would allow me to work from a home office at this point. It would allow us, it would put us in a position to build a residual income probably over the next 3 to 4 years. At that point, if necessary, if the Lord doesn't open another door, it would put us in a position to go help out in the ministry where they couldn't support us full time, or perhaps to do a church plant if the Lord would open that door. So that's kind of looking at something that would put us in a position to a lot of the ministry opportunities that are available right now. A lot of churches are struggling financially. And it's just difficult, especially someone who has 5 children, to support them full time. So this is kind of the avenue, the vein. Again, we're just taking that next step. We feel like this is what God has for us, and asking Him to lead and guide through that. Now, our desire would be, and we're planning on at this point, staying at Marquette until the Lord would lead us to another ministry. So at this point, I step down at the end of December. We'll still be here. I'll probably still be involved some in the youth ministry, but obviously I won't be able to do everything that I'm doing. So we are planning at this point to stay and be involved. So I guess if there's a positive in this, that would be it. So we're looking forward to that. So we're not saying goodbye, just a different avenue, just a different vein of ministry. So just to, again, don't make this more than what I'm saying, okay? Just to make some things clear, this is not a financially driven decision. You might imply, not that at all. The Lord has provided for us. The church has been good to us in that way. The financial part of it is more related to stepping into another ministry where things are tight in those ministries as well. That's where the financial strain is, and where I feel like I might need to do something else to open that door. That's how I feel the Lord's leading us. So, but as far as me stepping down from here, it's not related to finances at all. Obviously, we're not leaving the church, so that, you know, there's no major problems, okay? As I mentioned, we understand the needs of the ministry right now, so it's not an issue we have with the church, and I understand whoever's in my spot needs to be doing much of what I'm doing, so it's not like there's a major problem. but just the avenues of life, the way God leads. And again, related to that, and you may have your own opinions and concerns, and that's fine. You know, if you have a problem with what I'm doing, that's fine. Come and tell me, and you know, if the Lord will use that to help open my eyes, that would be great. It's good for us. Times like this force us all to evaluate where we're at and what we're doing, and we need to share those things with each other, and we need to hear those things. And these times like this are good for that. So it's not. It's actually worse for you just to hold it all in. These things are good for us to do those kinds of things. So, again, for us, this is how the Lord seems to be leading and guiding and directing. So if you would be praying with us and for us, I did share this with the teens in Sunday school. And one of the questions that was asked, and this does, they were asking, I was in Sunday school telling them this in Sunday school, so they were thinking maybe I was just stepping down from the youth ministry, but it's like, I'll be stepping down from what I'm doing in the school and the church, totally kind of stepping away from being here as paid staff, so to speak, just to make that clear. That wasn't clear in Sunday school. So that's how the Lord seems to be leading, and I trust we'll look to the Lord, allow Him to use this in each of our hearts and lives for His honor and glory. Let's pray.